Head on Fire is a Patreon-supported podcast. Supporters of the show get early access to ad-free episodes, a private Discord server, archives, and more. All benefits are offered on a sliding scale, so no matter your level of donation, you never miss out. If you like this show, consider supporting it with a dollar a month or whatever you can at patreon.com/headonfirepod. Thanks, and enjoy the show. So a little while back, I was scrolling on social media, and I came across a video where somebody had taken what looked like a bath bomb, you know, those like little fizzy blocks of chalk that you throw in a bathtub, and it fizzes up, and it makes it smell really good. Took one of those and like threw it into a bowl of water, and then out came, a few minutes later, this like aluminum foil wrapped piece of costume jewelry. And they were like, it was like a rhodium plated demuterite ring valued at 175 quid or whatever. And I've noticed like so many of those kinds of videos all around my social media feed. So of course I just ask, like, hey, how much of a scam is that? Because I know that so many of those companies that pop up on social media and masquerade as legitimate businesses are actually what are called MLMs, or multi-level marketing companies, which are like barely legal pyramid schemes. Suddenly a lot of people said, oh, it is fully a scam. It is fully a giant pyramid scheme. And one of those people was Roberta Blevins. Roberta Blevins left the MLM world in 2017 and has spent all of her time since then educating the public on the dangers involved in joining these barely legal pyramid schemes. She was a key witness in the case against LuLaRoe, that leggings company, and was featured in the documentary LuLaRich, which showcased how the billion-dollar clothing company misled thousands of women. These days, Roberta educates people via her podcast and social media platform titled Life After MLM, where she helps people unpack the history, legality, and real-world harm of multi-level marketing. And she's my guest today. Here's Roberta Blevins. Roberta Blevins, welcome to Head on Fire. Thanks so much for being here.
It's so good to be here. I have been a follower for a really long time, so sitting across from you is like really cool for me.
Well, thank you so much. That's so cool to hear. You have quite the following of your own. So for people who may not have come across you or your social media platform, tell people a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
So my name is Roberta Blevins, and I am sort of, well, I started off as like an anti-MLM educator and survivor, and it's sort of morphed into like scams and frauds and cults and all sorts of stuff. So it's like red flag and coercive control education now, but there's still a lot of anti-MLM stuff in there too.
Tell me, it's interesting that you say the word survivor. That's a heavy word to throw in there, but you have quite the history with MLMs. How did you get involved in that world?
So I was a vulnerable mom who wanted more for my life, like sure. Most of us vulnerable moms. And, you know, the perfect scam came across my desk at the perfect time, and it looked great. I was like, I could sell leggings. I was with a company called LuLaRoe. Most of my story is in the Amazon documentary LuLaRich. So if anybody's really interested, they can watch that. But it was just really interesting. I was like, I could do this. I could sell leggings on the couch. Not a problem. And I joined. And I had been a part of another MLM called It Works for like a couple months, a few years earlier. So for me, I was like, oh, this is totally different. We're not selling like vitamins. Like, these are leggings. I know moms that wear leggings. Like, I could totally sell this. And I got in and I got popular. I grew a team underneath me. People were like dying to join. It was very strange. It was very much like Beanie Babies, but pants. And it's true. And after about a year and a half, I was like, something is weird. I didn't realize that it was a pyramid scheme or a cult. I only realized that it was definitely not a business. I was like, This is clearly not a business. This is clearly not something that like you want to improve or fix. And I'm out. And then I learned everything on the other side.
So it's interesting because you're already using some words that kind of circulate MLM. So I want to do my due diligence as a good old fashioned nonfiction investigative reporter person and define our terms up front. So when we say MLM, what is an MLM?
An MLM is short for multi-level marketing. Excuse me. You may hear other names. They call it network marketing, direct sales, transformational marketing, social selling, all kinds of things. It's essentially You are the middleman. You are the salesperson. You join a company. They sell a product. You try to sell that product, but oftentimes the focus in that company is the recruitment of other people to also sell the product. So recruiting your own competition. And when that emphasis is higher than the sales, oftentimes what you're finding are pyramid schemes. So when I say MLM, it sort of encompasses everything for me. They are legalized frauds. And so there's a lot of different terms that I use, but essentially an MLM is a legalized pyramid scheme.
So when we talk about MLMs, when we talk about multi-level marketing, you know what's funny is social media has made, there's a number of people whose entire social media presence, it seems, is just kind of making fun of MLMs, or they'll call them like Facebook moms. It seems like Facebook seems to breed this, but TikTok is not immune. In fact, I think that's how we connected was via TikTok video. These days, these MLMs seem to have been neatly folded into this landscape of the gig economy. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the words like direct sales, but we're all on social media these days. Anybody that listens to this show surely is on social media as well. Everyone has a TikTok shop. Everyone has some kind of monetized Instagram. Everybody has, something they're selling you. Click on my Etsy, click on my this, click on my that. How is an MLM different from something like commissioned sales? How is an MLM different than door-to-door selling you stuff?
Right. So actually, MLM came out of traditional door-to-door direct sales in the 1940s, kind of like after World War II. There's a great book called Ponzinomics that really breaks it down and explains all of it. But it came out of direct selling door to door. You might remember like Kirby Vacuums or the Fuller Brush Company, Avon. Those were all really, really early direct door to door sales. It was actually a really popular job. And there was quite a few different people who kind of made it almost like being famous for being door-to-door salesmen. One of them was a man named Glenn W. Turner, who we've got an episode on him, but he essentially started an MLM. It was a pyramid scheme. It got shut down. And he was this really sort of like big, I don't know, like famous, like people would come to his motivational seminars and things like that. And he was just this door-to-door salesman. It was very, very interesting. So MLM came from that. The difference between like a legitimate door-to-door salesperson that's coming to your door and selling solar or whatever, although there are MLMs that sell solar and pest control and all of that. So you have to really have a keen ear and eye when looking at contracts that you're signing. But the difference is the recruitment factor. If there's more emphasis on getting people to join and also sell this product versus just sales, that's where you're going to get into the MLM territory. Excuse me.
So the when you say the recruitment factor, it's there's more of an emphasis on the company for you to get other people to join, not necessarily to sell things.
Right.
To build out that team you were talking about earlier.
Right. You get the right to sell the product, but you also get the right to encourage other people to join and also sell the product as well when you join an MLM. It's kind of interesting. So a lot of the things like on the TikTok shop, which I don't mind the TikTok shop. I think it is a way for people to generate income in a pretty decent way. It just floods everything. It's just, I feel like I'm watching QVC all day. I'm just like, stop with this. I don't need liquid IV right now. Thank you. The difference with that is it's actually affiliate marketing. So if you're, I don't know, cause I'm approved for the TikTok shop. So I don't know if somebody who isn't can see, but on the end, if you click something and you are in the TikTok shop, it'll tell you at the bottom, like you can earn $3.82 every time somebody buys this. And that's a general commission for an affiliate marketing. I'm saying, isn't this lipstick great? Here I am wearing it. I love it. If you love it too, you can click the link below and you can buy this. I'm not asking you to sell lipstick. I'm not asking you to join my team and fill your garage full of lipstick or anything like that. I'm just getting a legit commission for an affiliate sales. So MLMs a lot of times will say, oh, we're just affiliate marketing. But if there is that emphasis, I'm like, oh my gosh, you are so good at wearing that lipstick. Like, you could totally sell this too. That's where that MLM comes. It's getting more people into the scheme as opposed to just saying, thanks for the discount. Thanks for the commission. I'll let you know if I need anything else.
So, you know, you did mention pyramid schemes, and that is obviously where a lot of conversation around MLMs go, because, you know, people start, you know, okay, so here I am, and then I recruit, and then they recruit, and then, you know, and we're all funneling money, and what is this? It looks like a pyramid. You know, you mentioned pyramid schemes. Pyramid schemes are illegal. They mm-hmm. are federal, not just like at the state level, they are a federal crime. You can't have a pyramid scheme or you're doing a federal crime.
Right.
What is the difference between these? Or at least, let me put it this way. What do MLM advocates say is the difference? Where are they finding the daylight between these two things?
Lobbying. I wish I was joking, but it's lobbying. It really is.
Say this is not a pyramid scheme.
There is the MLM.
I didn't know Mary Kay was rolling like that.
It's true, right? So the MLM industry, I hate calling it an industry, but it is, in the United States, $190 billion industry within the United States a year. And globally, I think it's $330 billion a year. So it's a really, really, really big money-making thing. A lot of people are like, we're just trying to sell lipstick. I'm like, you are at the bottom of this. Like, you don't see what I'm trying to explain of how devastating and legal this has become. So they have lobbying efforts. It's called the Direct Selling Association, the DSA. They have offices on K Street in DC. And they own a lot of senators. They are in the pockets of people that make decisions. They like to legislate out rules specifically for multi-level marketing. You mentioned gig work earlier, how MLM people are like, oh, it's like gig work. So there's a business opportunity rule that we've been working on for the past, God, it's so long, like 2-3 years. It got opened back up after 10 years of it being like an established rule, because we were like, we'd like to add MLMs into this. Like, MLMs should be in this business opportunity rule. It was literally created for them, and somehow they're not in it. So it got opened up again. We had all these comments. And the reason that it got opened up again was because they wanted to add gig work into it. Or is gig work business opportunity? Should gig workers have specific rules and regulations and rights underneath this business opportunity rule?
And I think I'm so sorry to cut you off here real quick. I do want to, let's go ahead and define gig work for a listener who just might not be aware. Work is something like an Uber driver is mm-hmm. doing a gig yeah. economy job.
Yeah.
What are some other examples, and how do you define that, and how is it different?
So food delivery, like you said, Uber, Lyft, any of the Uber Eats or the Postmates,
Task
I don't
Rabbit,
even know.
People might
yeah,
be familiar
like
with
all
something
of
like
that stuff. The dog walking mm-hmm. services, the house.
The work when you want,
absolutely.
Opt in, opt out.
Right,
you know,
download
it's,
the
it's
app.
A, it's a side hustle. That yeah, seems absolutely. To be the real gentle, yeah.
Right. Download the app, log in when you're ready to work, wait for a ping, and then do that task, get paid, deliver the groceries, walk the dog, whatever it is. So it's contracted 1099 work that's like outside of a regular brick and mortar type store where you can sort of do your own thing. So a lot of people will argue like, well, MLM is that. And I'm like, kind of. I mean, yes, but there's always a yes, but.
But I don't have a downstream. Right. If I'm doing, I mean, I've driven Uber. I've talked about this before. When I was broke in the early days of Uber, I drove an Uber, but I didn't have a team. There's no team above me. There's no team below me. I worked right. for Uber making
so I have
whatever.
A question. For
yes.
you about Uber. If
yes.
you are driving Uber and someone's like,
this
oh my God, Dawn.
This was a long time ago.
Okay,
so go
it
on.
Might be different
it was
now.
2015, 2016, something like that.
Okay. If someone was like, Dawn, I see you driving Uber. I really want to drive Uber too. Would there be like a link you could give them to sign up where
yes.
you would get like a $20 bonus?
Yes.
Okay.
There
so
was.
That
yeah.
is totally normal. That is a totally normal recruitment commission or bonus. It's a one-time thing for referring.
It was a one-time thing, yeah.
With an MLM.
I didn't know anybody. And honestly, I was so embarrassed because I was so embarrassed at the time because I was needing to supplement the fact that like my job suddenly, I didn't have an income for like 6 months. It was hell. So absolutely. I was so embarrassed. I wasn't like out here like, oh yeah, I'm part of the gig economy. I was embarrassed to do it. And I was, I was hustling to survive.
And that's how MLMs survive because people are so embarrassed and so vulnerable and I don't know what to do. And I'm at my wit's end and I just need an extra $300. And someone's like, did you say that you just need an extra $300? Would you like to work from your phone? Like, it's that sort of thing, you know? So you having the ability to recruit, quote, big quotes here, recruit someone and give them a referral bonus, and then you get a referral bonus and they're like, oh yeah, Dawn referred them. That's a totally normal thing. It happens all the time. It happens in affiliate marketing. It's so normal and so real. An MLM, it never stops in an MLM. You will always get this recruitment bonus from that person. And then that person will always be a part of your sales. It will always be a percentage. That's that downline. And then that person could recruit somebody. And then you would also get a bonus. And it goes down this line. And it seems like, as I explain it, people are like, well, why wouldn't I want to do that? And it's because it's fraud. It will collapse. You will run out of people on earth mathematically. It doesn't work. It's just... It's bordering on pyramid scheme.
It's that
like
Schitt's Creek episode.
Point.
It's that Schitt's Creek episode where Moira Rose gets sent a box of makeup or lotions or whatever it is. And she's like, oh, I'm just going to sell these to these common townsfolk. And all the common townsfolk say, we are literally all salespeople for this made up Mary Kay, Avon, whatever.
Absolutely.
Like we are literally all, it blazed through here. We all have the product. You can't sell to us because we are already salespeople.
Absolutely. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It saturates everything. Like you literally are recruiting your own competition. And here's the funny thing that like people don't understand. When you really step outside of the MLM complex and you really start like objectively looking at things, if I'm selling you face lotion every single month, and I know that I'm going to sell Dawn $200 worth of face lotion, and I'm going to get $100 commission, that's $100 in my pocket every single month. But if I, for some reason, decide to recruit you, I'm no longer getting that money anymore because now you're buying it on your own. I'm not getting that money. It's no longer a sale. You are now my competition. And anybody that maybe was shopping with me that really liked interacting with you in the comments or liked you better may start shopping from you too. So it's just a very strange thing. People think like, oh yeah, like divide and conquer, but it's really not that at all.
Are they, so the daylight is I'm paying a politician to say that there's daylight. That's the daylight?
Yeah. In fact, like here's something that's really interesting. So in 1994, there was DSHEA was enacted, which is like a drug. It was a rule basically that took power away from the FTC. Took power away from the FDA. So instead of you introducing something to the market and the FDA evaluating it and saying, yes, you can put this on the market, the FDA was taken out because DSHEA is like, well, you can put whatever you want. And the FDA can't really step in unless there's a problem now. And the person that was very, very involved in getting that passed in legislation was Orrin Hatch, who was the senator of Utah, I believe, or the, I don't know, whatever he was, but Utah at the time, and very deeply in the DSA's pocket. So the DSA actually kind of bought those votes because it helps them. MLM not having regulations on supplements makes it a whole hell of a lot easier to get a lot of supplements out there, get a lot of people interested, tell them this is going to change your life. This is groundbreaking. This is ground floor opportunity. Get in, get all these supplements. And there have been, you know, a lot of issues with things going out on the market that probably shouldn't have, and people getting sick and people getting hurt and there being strange things. And when you trace it all the way back to the 1990s, MLM is there. The MLM industry was also incredibly helpful with getting China into the World Trade Organization because Amway wanted a billion new fresh bodies to recruit. So when we like look at what MLM is doing on the back end, and people are like, it's not really that harmful. I think you called it like a predatory seven or something, you know, it's not really that harmful. It's okay. It's like, yeah, okay, on the surface, sure. But when you dig deeper and you go, okay, well, why is this happening? Why is this legal? If it really is a pyramid scheme, why isn't anybody calling it out? And it's because of those legal, they're not even laws, Dawn. They're not even rules. They just had a meeting with the FTC and they were like, they're technically guidelines. And I'm just like, what is happening here? Why don't we have rules and laws protecting consumers? Why are they just guidelines that only protect these billion-dollar frauds? So,
you brought up my joke about the predatory seven. We were talking about, I made a video because, you know, TikTok,
the bomb party.
TikTok and a few other places, but TikTok especially has just become one big TikTok shop now. And everybody is trying to opt in to find the way that they're going to make a whole, you know, crisp side hustle kind of thing. And so many people are doing these fizz jewelry things where you put a cheap piece of costume jewelry in a bath bomb and then they're selling these bath. You don't even get that. That's the thing. That's one of the things that I hate about this the most is I don't even get the bath bomb. Like, I remember seeing this kind of stuff at like Bath and Body Works a million years ago. They would do this with candles. And I think I've seen this with bath bombs where it's like, oh, I burn the candle and then I get the little ring at the bottom. And then one out of every kajillion has, the tiniest diamond that you've ever seen in your entire piece of diamond that was swept up off a floor somewhere. It's a diamond if you squint. But at least you have a candle to burn. At least you have a bath bomb that's a real bath bomb. And you're sitting in there and it's fizzy and you're having the experience and you get the wonder and magic of getting to like discover the ring yourself. These fizzy jewelry companies on TikTok shop take all the joy, all the little magic and wonder out of it and also charge you like $20 for a bath bomb that you don't even get to bomb in your own bath. They do it for you and send you the jewelry.
Right.
Which is just like some, you know, nothing little $13 ring you would get at Target. So my question was like, how predatory is that? Because it does seem to be folded in. It seems to be folded into everything else on TikTok shop. It seems to be folded into that affiliate marketing. It seems to be folded into, direct sales and commissions and all of that, because that's all that language, right? That, that gig economy language is getting applied to this. It's that, oh, you know, this is my, I'm empowered. I can work when I want, you know, they get to just be like, ooh, I like all of that language. It's just, that's mine now. I also work when I want. I work however long I want. I am empowered. I earn a side hustle. I earn a yada yada. So are all MLMs created equal? Like, are they all equally bad? Because in my eyes, I was like, okay, so how predatory is this? Because we've seen, like, some of them are so bad that documentaries are made out of them.
True.
And some of them are bath bombs on TikTok.
Right.
Which, like, I think, you know, so are they all equally bad? Like, I know Herbalife is one that people tend to like talk about, joke about, parody. It's been on a million TV shows. It was like a giant storyline for at least a full season on Orange is the New Black, how somebody was going to like make all this money on Herbalife. But the problem is like you have to pony up hundreds or thousands of dollars to buy the product and then you have to go sell the product. So, sorry to invade your space like that, but are all MLMs created equal? Are they all equally bad? Is there any kind of spectrum?
Yes, they are all equally bad because they all follow the same rules. And those rules are what keep them legal. So back in the day, there was a pyramid scheme called Nutrilite. And it was one of the earliest ones that got shut down for being a pyramid. Okay. There were two men in Nutrilite who were like head honchos, we call them mega huns, sitting at the top of the pyramid, who were like, we're going to get away from this FTC sniffing around and all this fraud.
Sorry, you call them mega
around.
What?
Mega huns. Okay, real quick.
Mega hun?
Into the world of my language here. Yes. Yeah, so
I don't know if anybody else misheard that, but I.
Mega hun.
I heard a C somewhere in there is all I'm going to say. No. I heard a crisp consonant in the middle of that word. And I don't know if it's just Pride Month and that's where my brain is right now.
You hear what you want to hear.
I was like, Did we get Australian for a second there?
Some of them might be also that, but I don't know them, so I can't say for sure. Okay, so a hun is somebody who sells for an MLM, because we use the "hey hun" in the messages, in the cold messages.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
So a hun is someone who sells for an MLM. An ex-hun is someone who no longer sells for an MLM, like
That's
an ex-mom.
Wild.
Right?
I've never heard that term before.
We've kind of created our own language over here. So a mega hun is somebody who's like at the top of the pyramid. They know what's going on. They jump from MLM to MLM. They know how the game is played. They're mega recruiters. They know exactly
so
what they're doing.
That's like Tom Cruise in Scientology.
Tom Cruise,
is
exactly.
A mega hun.
Okay. Tom Cruise is the mega hun of Scientology.
He knows it's a scam. He knows the aliens aren't real. Yada, yada, yada. Okay.
Right. Absolutely. Gotcha. So these
Scientology
two mega huns.
Don't come for me.
Hey, I actually was wearing a Scientology sweatshirt before we hopped on, and I was like, this is going to be too hot. It said, not today,
please.
Thank
you. Are you really?
It was like, I'm like, I have to have the fan on. It's going to mess with audio. I'll just put on a t-shirt.
See, that would have been so perfect, because Scientology boldly asks the question, what if we made religion a pyramid scheme? Like, what if we made religion an
Mormonism
MLM?
Mormonism also kind of asks that same question. But that isn't neither here nor there. There's these two back to the Neutralite story, right?
Mega huns. Yeah, that's how that's where we are.
The two mega huns at the top of Neutralite decided to leave and start their own MLM, and they named it the American Way. And those men were Jay Van Andel and Richard DeVos, and that company is known as Amway now. So they left a failing pyramid scheme, started their own, and then when Neutralite collapsed, they absorbed it into Amway, and it is still to this day a product line in Amway. So it's very funny. So in 1979, when the FTC was like, wait a second, you're operating the same way as all these other pyramid schemes, Amway went to court from 1975 to 1979. And unfortunately, the FTC was like, oh yeah, no, this looks totally legit. You're not a pyramid scheme because you follow these specific rules. So originally, and again, they're guidelines, not rules, not laws. Originally, MLMs were following what we call the Costcott rules, because Costcott Interplanetary was a pyramid scheme that was Glenn W. Turner, like I mentioned earlier. He started that. It was shut down for being a pyramid scheme because of these very specific rules. So everybody was following the legal precedent of the Costcott rules to stay legal and not being a pyramid scheme. And then Amway came around, and that case kind of set a new precedent of rules. Again,
what
not
are
laws,
these rules?
Not
because I know that I know that we said, haha, the daylight is that I paid a politician to tell me that it's not a pyramid scheme. But like, okay, so you're telling me that there's rules, there's guidelines, there's suggestions. What are those specifically?
So I don't know them off the top of my head specifically. I always have to look at them because they're complicated. But the Costcott rules essentially, when you put them out, like, everybody's like, no, all of these are pyramid schemes. Like, it's very much like, I can probably look them up, but I'm not sure if I could find them right now.
No, you keep talking. That's my job.
Okay, here it is. Under federal law, in a pyramid scheme, participants, quote, pay money to the company in return for which they receive the right to sell a product, and two, the right to receive in return for recruiting other participants into the program rewards which are unrelated to the sale of the product to ultimate users. So it's very legalese.
I have to pay the company?
So right, that's essentially what it is. If you're paying a company to work for them, and then you also, when paying that company to work for them, because when you sign up for an MLM, you pay your $99 fee. LuLaRoe is like $5,000. They're all different. You pay, we call it pay to play. You pay to be able to join, which is a huge red flag. You know, it's not like buying non-slip shoes for your job at McDonald's or like getting a red shirt at Target. Like, it's, you need to give us multiple hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
You shouldn't have to pay for those things. That's $1 billion company. You can afford sell polos right over there.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to go over there to buy the dang polo. You can give one to me.
It's absolutely true. That's one of the things that people are like, well, if you worked at McDonald's, you'd have to buy non-slip shoes. So you have to buy your lipstick kit. Like, it's one of those like non sequiturs where you're like, those aren't even the same. It's not the same. But they like to make it look, well, it's legitimate because of this. So the rules are essentially that you're paying to play. And then in paying to play, you also receive the right to not only sell the products, but to recruit other people to sell the products as well. So if you really were to look at any of these rules, you'd be like, all of them are pyramid schemes. Like, it's, yeah.
You know what's so funny is how many other industries get away with this idea that, oh, well, everybody's doing this. And then you right. find out that nobody actually does this. Like, so I'm an author, right? And what there will be some people that every now and then are like, hey, I have to pay my agent X amount of money. Is that a normal rate? And then so many authors come out to be like, why are you paying your agent? You should never be paying your agent, ever. They only earn money if they sell your book. What are you doing? Stop paying your agent. What is that? Why are you doing that? Or the predatory publishing, like the hybrid publishers these days mm-hmm. that are like, no, we are a great bridge for people that no, you're paying, you know, 5, 10, 15. I saw somebody say they paid 200 something, like six figures to publish a book. I'm like, that is stupid. That is stupid. How is that legal? Yeah. That's so stupid. An idiot and their money are soon parted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. And I think really there's so many industries that just take advantage of people's ignorance. They just don't know. Like, I don't know how to publish a book. And someone's like, ooh, well, come over here and I'll help you.
There's well, but just I think, so many I think people a lot of that has to do advantage. with in our culture. Now, I'm you know, obviously people all around the world listen to this show. So maybe in other cultures, people are going to be shocked by this. But at least here in the U.S., there is very much a culture of you should never talk about how much you make. You should never inquire about your friends or your families or your neighbors or your coworker salaries. Don't ask about bonuses. Don't ask about how you got the job. Nope. I mean, we should, like, all of that is gauche. It is mm-hmm. all impolite. You should never talk about that. But the thing is, not talking about that kind of stuff ever invites people to come in and prey on that ignorance. I mean, it allows mm-hmm. companies to underpay people. It allows these, you know, predatory companies to come in and say, oh, well, you need, I mean, people will use, like, I know authors. I think I've been one at this point now that my social media profile has kind of risen, where these predatory folks will slide into somebody's DMs or slide into somebody's inbox and say, oh, well, you know, I've worked with so-and-so, or very heavily imply that they've worked with such and such author or such and such influencer or such and such person, you know, and well, everybody's and look at their success. Everyone's doing this. You know, you don't know how to publish a book. You would love to have your book out in the world. This is what right. everyone has to do to get their foot in the door. And it's not remotely true, not remotely true. But the reason it works is because we don't talk about it, because they don't mm-hmm. see, they are not presented with the legitimate alternative. They just assume this is what everyone is doing. And I think that's why I wanted to not just talk with you, but really preface this conversation in that delineation, that daylight between what am I seeing on TikTok shop that's legit? Mm-hmm. Because everything right now is a marketplace. Everything everywhere is a marketplace. But inside of that is also MLMs suddenly, because one of the big problems that you mentioned earlier in our conversation was, if I'm recruiting you, I'm recruiting my competition. And that used to be a big problem when your competition is the other woman in your neighborhood. And so now you're having to split that neighborhood. But now, thanks to social media, I still have infinite opportunity. I still have hundreds of, you know, I still have whoever comes across my feed. I still have whoever comes across my live stream. I'm no longer limited to my neighborhood. So some of that limitation is taken away, and it makes it look more legitimate mm-hmm. because, you know, it's just folded in there with everything else.
Yeah. It's really interesting that you mentioned just, you know, people keeping quiet and staying in the dark, and that it allows others to fall for these things, because that's one of the reasons that MLM thrives, is because mm-hmm. nobody talks about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talk about coercive control and cults and all this stuff, and I firmly believe and have famously said on the documentary that MLMs are cults, and I will mm-hmm. I will die on that hill every single day. I have a podcast called Life After MLM, where we talk to the survivors of all types of different coercive controls. We've got lots of Scientology episodes, lots of religious episodes, purity culture, toxic masculinity, like all of these things that are controlling. And one of the themes is that everybody was like, I've never talked about this before. I've never let anybody know this happened to me. I've never unpacked this. I just thought I was a failure. I can't sell lipstick. I don't know how to sell protein powder. Just throw it away, close the door, never talk about this again. And because it's coercive control and because there are so many things that happen and the emotions where you feel like you're not good enough or you're not a good salesperson or you can't, you know, build a team or whatever. And you take these internalized feelings about yourself and you bury them deep. I have women who are like, I left MLM 30 years ago and I have struggled for so long to wonder why I do these things that I do. And I listen to your show and I see myself in all of these stories and I go, oh, that's why I do this. And they start unpacking these things because nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to say, oh, I thought, you know, you were so gung-ho about Mary Kay for 5 years. It's like talking about how it's the best makeup ever. You don't wear it anymore? What about the Herbalife? You said it cured your cancer. What, you don't have to, you're not worried about cancer anymore? It's kind of, you know, like, I don't know, like, It's this veil of shame that the MLM puts on us if you can't make it happen. Because if you look at the stats, there is a 99.7% loss rate in an MLM. So if there's a 99.7% loss rate where gambling, putting it all on black and betting it all on the casino is only 95%, and MLM has a almost 5% higher loss rate, you're telling me it's my fault? Do you tell somebody who goes into the casino and puts money in a slot machine, you know, it's your fault? Well, it's a game. It's rigged this way. It's made this way. Nobody loses money in a casino and goes, oh my God, my life. Like, I mean, maybe. But I think most people go into those sort of things understanding that there's a risk, understanding that you might lose it all, but you might get a free drink and you're going to have some fun and it's a casino and you're not, hopefully, you're going to be responsible and not spend more than you're willing to lose. But in an MLM, it's not like that. You're told you're a business owner. You are going to make so much money, you're not going to know what to do with it. It takes a couple years, right? I know you're not seeing any profit now, but it takes up to X amount of years in a small business. They use statistics of actual businesses, actual small business statistics, actual business statistics, and they apply it to pyramid schemes. And they say, oh yeah, no, this is totally normal. It took me 5 years to get to the top. Just keep spending more money. Just keep spending more money. The 1% will always be the 1%. It's not going to magically flip its head over and be 99%. There will always be a 99% loss rate regardless. And unless you are on the top, you will be losing money in the form of just buying stuff you don't need. The opportunity cost of not taking an actual job because you're just thinking with the sunk cost fallacy, this is going to be it. I just need to sit on this slot machine for just another hour. Just got to put another $100 in it because it's going to pay off. I can feel it. Like that feeling of like betting against yourself and winning and that dopamine. And it's so prevalent in multi-level marketing and people don't see it. You talk about the bomb parties, right? When the next time anybody's watching a bomb party, look behind them and look at all of the product on the shelves behind them. Count it. I want to say like those things are like $15 each or something. Count it. See how much money they are sitting on and how much money they're actually making. They only sold 3 things. Okay. They have 150 things behind them. And they're going to be encouraged to buy more next week because there's a new release coming out. You got to have the Halloween ones. You got to have the Christmas ones. You got to have the summer ones. Who did you mention 4th of July? You got to have the 4th. You don't need bangly bracelets and earrings and necklaces and all these things. You don't need it, but we are trapped in this system believing that we need it. And until you snap out of it and realize, oh my God, like you will forever be stuck. And so that's why I tell people, I'm like, this is more predatory than you expect or more predatory than you know. It's an anthill. People say like, oh, go down the rabbit farm. I'm like, no, an MLM is an anthill. You get down there and there are all these tunnels and all of these things. And you're just like, this is so much bigger than I ever imagined. It's not just a little tiny thing. It is just so entangled with the government and the laws and this coercive undue influence there's the mean girl culture of like, oh, you're not going to buy it. No wonder you're not successful. Like all of this comes to a head. And the stories that I tell on the podcast reflect all of this. People are like, yes, I almost lost my house. I got a divorce. Mm. All of these things happened to me. I lost my money. I was bankrupt. There are so many things. And I'm like, you would think lipstick isn't harmful or vitamins aren't harmful or fizzy bath bombs aren't harmful. But we're on the outside looking in going, oh, that looks fun. It looks so fun. I should do that. We're not in going, yeah, you know, for every bath bomb I sell, like then my upline's like, did you buy more and this and that and all of the expenses, all of those free gifts. I had this woman come on my show talking. She was in a MLM called Bella Fizz, which is very similar to the Ring Bomb. She had a great time. She was like, it was so fun. We did all these things. It was such a good time. She goes, until I did my taxes. She lost like $10,000 in a year. And she was successful. She was like, I thought I was making money because the checks were coming in, but she was not accounting for all the free gifts, all the money she was spending, the extra stirring stick and the shelving she bought. And if you have to pay for a babysitter because you've got to go to a convention and the airplane, there's so much cost associated with being a part of one of these things. And people don't look at the whole picture. They just look at the fun.
Who's most susceptible to these MLMs? I mean, obviously, it seems on its surface it's women, but it has to be more, I mean, it has to be more, you know, intersectional than that.
Yeah. So it's about 75% women. It goes sometimes, some years it's 73, sometimes it's 77, but it's around 75% women. Most of the MLMs that women get involved in are going to be like the beauty ones, the clothing ones, the fitness ones, the appearance, all of the outer beautification aspects. I see the women getting stuck in those all the time. The ones that I see men getting stuck in are the Primericas, the Herbalifes, the, oh gosh, like Cutco, these sort of MLMs where it's like, I'm an associated
Cutco can't
business.
Be an MLM. I've seen that in stores, haven't I?
Yeah. Cutco is actually run by an MLM called Vector Marketing. And it's an MLM, technically. Yeah. So
Legal
Shield
is another
things.
One that people don't Legal realize Shield, is yeah. a is an MLM because yeah. they get sold as though it's insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. ACN, which is like the American Communication Network, which is like cell phones and internet service provider, things like that. There's Rainbow Vacuum. There's a lot of things like that door. There's still that door to door, but it's not really door to door. It's like appointment door to door, like mm-hmm. Cutco. I'll come to your house, give you a demonstration. Let me clean this section of your carpet with my fancy vacuum and I'll give you an air purifier for doing that. And those MLMs are kind of run differently. Those MLMs, we just had an episode with a Cutco woman and she was talking about how she got paid to do a demonstration. Regardless, she got like $15 an hour for every, even if she didn't sell anything. So there's all these different distinctions as well that are always going to confuse you. Like, well, my MLM pays me even if I don't get a sale. Right. But mm-hmm. can you have a downline? Can you have an upline? Do you have like this office? Is there somebody, even though you're your quote own boss, is there somebody that you kind of report to that goes, how come you haven't had your sales yet? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not recruiting people? The focus on the recruitment, the upline, asking your upline for things. That's where it gets kind of culty too. Once you really get into the upline downline, I hear stories of Amway, like you have to ask your upline if you're going to buy a car. And they want to like look at which cars you can get and look at which cars that they think would be best for you. And you have to get permission. And if you buy the wrong
car,
yeah. If you buy the wrong car, you're going to feel it. Yes. Yes. Because the money you're making, they want it. Yes. They don't want you to have too big of a car payment. Because then that's less money you're spending on Amway. So they want to be involved. They think it's like this mentorship. It's my mentor. He's saying, I don't really need this expensive car. I could just totally get like a used Dodge Neon and I'll be fine. It's this, I've heard stories of people going, I had to choose between my sister's wedding and an Amway event. You don't go to the sister's wedding. Your family is like, how dare you? You don't go to the Amway event. That company is like, how dare you? And they're like, I didn't know what to do. Like I had to decide. And when you're in a cult, when you're in a coercive control situation, sure, they're not going to like, in an MLM, you're not going to get like branded or beat or anything like that. Like you might get in like Scientology or NXIVM or something like that. But you're going to feel it, right? If you go against what your upline suggests you should do, you might not get invited to speak on stage next month. You might not get invited to that extra trip. You might not get that recognition, and you're going
to
feel it.
Don't you have
to
pay for all those things? Like, don't you have to pay to go to the trip?
Yes, but it doesn't matter because it's like this echelon of like, where do I sit in the pyramid? Not just like financially in the pyramid, but like in this like community of people. Because the higher up I am, it, like for the upline, if the upline knows that I'm going to like be good, have sales, recruit people, they might kick me down a couple people. They might go, oh, I've got a great person for you to join under. You can join under Roberta. I'm not going to get those extra people if I'm not being a loyal cult member, I guess. I'm like trying to like, the language that I use is, you know, I don't want to like confuse everybody, but like at the same time, like, you're joining these companies, you think you're just selling a product and you're just going to make a little bit of money on the side, but they get really dangerous really, really fast, not only financially, but mentally, psychologically, socially.
When it comes to who's most susceptible to join, obviously you said it's 75% women. Is there a breakdown? I mean, is there an intersection of, class, tax bracket, racial makeup, religion, are there more demographics there? Like, my brain assumes, because the more broke you are, the more you buy into magical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If I just do this, then I will, make all the money.
Yeah.
And they're the easiest to prey on. And they're they'll give you absolutely everything because they think, well, next month it will pay off.
Right.
Somebody that has everything will give you nothing, but somebody that has nothing will give you everything they have.
Right.
So is that what you find? What have you found as, that more intersectional entryway into MLMs?
Honestly, it's vulnerability. It's how vulnerable you are in the moment and which company comes to you. So, I mean, I've talked to people.
So, like,
who
does loneliness
highly
have a
educated?
So, like, does lawyers is and doctors. Loneliness a factor in this?
Oh yeah, loneliness absolutely. Because when you join an MLM, you're not just a lot of. And here's the thing: a lot of people are like, "I didn't even join this for the money. I joined it for the community." Mm. And I'm like, good, because you're not making any money. Mm. Glad you didn't join your job for the money. You're not making any money. I joined it for the community. I joined it for the trips. I joined it for the sisterhood. I joined it for the understanding. I remember when I joined being a lonely mom, sitting watching like Criminal Minds and like daytime TV with a baby stuck to me, going, I got to find something else to do. Like, I need something when this stage is over, like I need to get back into it. So I was already feeling I need friends. I need something to do. I need something to keep me excited. I want to feel important. So any of the things that you're feeling when you're vulnerable, the MLMs will use. And, I want to say, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I want to say that it's probably mostly white women, But like Herbalife, like we mentioned before, decimated the Latino population in Los Angeles and was protected by the government, because when that case finally made it to the California Attorney General's office, who was at the time Vice President Kamala Harris, she swept it under the rug because her husband was Herbalife's lawyer. So it's disappointing. But you hear these things and you're like, oh, here we go. Another special exemption for a scam that's protected by the government. And we're watching it be protected by the government. There's a lot of, I see a lot of like the Black community getting involved in a lot of these like Primerica and these insurance sort of scams, because it's like you can have an office and be this office guy and have this team, and don't you want to be this, like, this is what success looks like, come to work every day in a suit. And it's pretending, right? It's absolutely
pretending. I do unfortunately, just in my line of work, in my day job, I do see the African-American population sort of disproportionately fall for things that look more legitimate, like anything to do mm-hmm. with numbers or mm-hmm. anything that sounds like it's trading, stock trading, securities yes. trading of some kind, insurance sales, that kind of thing.
If it looks like
it's in that world, that demographic does seem to latch onto it as though it is more legitimate.
Yeah.
But if you think you're trading securities, but you aren't required to get licensed
you're not trading securities. Mm-mm. And if you Mm-mm. are, you're doing a crime. But
yeah, definitely doing a crime. There was a pyramid scheme that actually got caught like a few years ago.
I think that was a big one. Like I'm a Forex
trading is a big one too. It was called BENT and it stood for Blessings in No Time. It was actually shut down for being a pyramid scheme and was actually a pyramid scheme. It was a blessing loom pyramid scheme, which is like a version of like the airplane game or all of these other where like you buy into those boards and then each round everyone moves in closer to the center. And then when you become the center, you get the whole pot, but you have to pay in. And so this BENT decimated the Black community because it was run by this Black couple, and they were giving their family members just the spaces just outside the circle and sort of fabricating circles. And then getting people to join. So as soon as people filled up the circle, like them and their family would bump to the middle and they would get the whole pot. And so all of these other people were investing in what they thought was this sort of like, you put money in and then you get a bigger payout. It's this great investment and it's just for friends, but it's a pyramid scheme. And the last ones in will never make any money. That person that joins at the end and makes their way to the middle, those people that don't make their way to the middle, they all lost money. Like you won because you took it from the people that didn't win. It's kind of like a chain letter, send the stickers, send the dollar, send the wine, secret sister, all of those things. It's the same sort of thing. The last people in aren't going to get anything. And it was, I think it just got prosecuted like earlier this year, but it was 100% targeted toward the Black community. And it's horrific. These scams do this and, you know, there's so many, quote, legal guidelines that they can work around that a lot of them go on for a lot longer than they need to before they collapse and take everybody down with them.
I want to, as we come to the end of our time, maybe go back through some more famous pyramid schemes that maybe in retrospect. So I think like the younger you are, the easier it is to look back in history and be like, well, that was obviously a pyramid scheme, but what I'm doing selling my bath bombs on TikTok is not a pyramid scheme, even though I have an upline and a downline and I spend more money on Target on clearance costume jewelry than I do that I make. But I'm not doing a pyramid scheme. I'm doing a TikTok shop. So you mentioned Avon. That's a pyramid scheme or a MLM.
Right. Yes. MLM. In fact, Mary Kay. This is interesting though. Avon was literal direct sales until 2005 when they decided to join the DSA as a member and switch over to pyramid sales.
Because I was going to say, I was a little surprised to see Avon and like Mary Kay on the list because I was like, well, that is all. I always thought those were direct sales.
They were. But once the DSA got a lot more power and there was a lot more lobbying efforts and a lot more lackadaisical laws that they could skirt around, a lot of these companies are like, oh, let's join. So the DSA has been around for a really long time and they really were there to protect direct sellers. The Fuller Brush Company, the Kirby Vacuum guys, the people that were coming door to door with a briefcase trying to get you to, you know, like the buy a trombone from the school band or whatever, you know, like we got trouble. So those were legitimate jobs. But when the DSA and the lobbying effort sort of switched, everything switched and Avon became an MLM.
So nobody's earning those Cadillacs anymore.
They still do. Yeah. They're still being, I think they're Cadillacs. Okay, I think you have more of a choice now.
Now I remember Tupperware. I don't remember Tupperware. Yep. But everybody brings Tupperware up in this conversation.
Yeah.
Has that shifted into MLM? Is it still direct sale? Oh, it has.
Yeah. There is
do people still sell Tupperware? Do people not know that you can get like Rubbermaid at the store?
Yeah. It's really interesting because a lot of these MLMs now also do something that they call omni-channel, which you got to watch out for, because essentially it's just them being like, we're going to add an MLM leg onto our company. So you can literally buy Tupperware in Target, which
you're
going to undercut all your reps.
I swear I see that brand in stores.
There's an end cap at Target.
Yeah.
You're going to undercut all your reps by selling it at Target? On every corner, in every town, in every state, in every place in the United States.
I mean, it's such a name. Why wouldn't you just keep going legit?
Like, I remember that you used to buy it at like a kiosk in the mall because I would see it in the mall all the time. Yeah. You could buy it door to door. You could be a rep. They also have it at Home Goods and you can get it at like thrift stores too. You know, like it's everywhere. Yep. But yes.
People collect certain lines of Tupperware.
Tupperware has probably one of like, my
Do you remember that pitcher, that Tupperware pitcher that everybody loved?
So it was the brown
or the orange, and it went up and it had the thing on top and you pushed the thing. My parents had that. To this day, I don't know what this button did. What did that? What was this button?
It seals it. It vacuum seals it.
It did
not. So you can shake it. Yeah. But you still have to hold the lid. Tell you because we had, I think we had the red one.
That button is like the door close button on an elevator. That was just there for little boys to play with.
My dad, we would always make like Kool-Aid in that as a kid. And we had the one with the seal, right? And my dad would make it.
Kool-Aid coming out of that thing tastes better, I'm telling you.
He would ask me to shake it up. And there was one time when I forgot to really hold the lid.
Shake it?
Yeah, to shake the sugar. I know. It was the 80s, Dawn.
And
the Kool-Aid went everywhere.
What are you doing?
And it was like, we're never using that again. That Tupperware jug lasted us a very long time. And when the little lid no longer like stuck,
it turned good into stuff.
It turned into the dog washing jug. And it was just the jug we used to like hose the dog off.
I think we did something similar. We had a brown one. But like, it was good. It was good stuff.
Products are inconsequential. A lot of products in MLMs are good.
The pyramid scheme,
that's the bad part.
The ones that got, listen, hi, Mom. Hi, Mom, who's listening to my episode right
hi,
now.
Hi, Mom.
The women's in my town got eaten up with two things. Pampered Chef.
Oh, God, yes.
And Creative Memories.
I was going to ask if it was the scrapbooking.
It was the oh, my God. Party. And I remember, and then, you know what was fun? You know what was so fun? Is then the team, because, oh, man, everybody was into Creative Memories. Like, that was Pampered Chef, I think, was when I was a little younger, and Creative Memories was when I was a little older. But that scrapbooking thing took my town so much by storm that I distinctly remember, and I want to say it was our English teacher who was big into it, had us do a scrapbooking project. And she's like, oh, if you need supplies,
tub.
I will sell you supplies, children. Hey, children,
would
you like to buy from my MLM? And you had to buy, oh, the book, the fancy book. Oh, well, these books are better than a three-ring binder.
Yeah. I remember having Creative Memories, like birthday parties.
Yes.
Where the rep would come and we would all, it's like everybody bring like five or six photos. Sitting there and using all the different pinking shears with all the different textures and
all the little corner cutters.
The corners. Yes.
The thousands of stickers. So many stickers.
And just being like, I want to do this forever. And I just had random sheets from all the parties we would go to, but I never put them in anything. I'd be like, here's a scrapbooking page. Just like floating around.
When you would ask, well, why can't I just go down to Michael's and buy those scrapbooking?
You can.
Why can't I just use whatever paper? And they're like, oh, well,
it's
ours
acid free.
Ours is.
Magic.
ours has witchcraft magical. In the scrapbook. Pampered Chef, that was an MLM. That was a scam. Mm-hmm. Full-on scam.
Yeah, Pampered Chef's one too. There's so many. But there's like 350 active MLMs like right now and thousands in the history of it. There's so many. There was a toilet paper MLM. There's like a water
filter. Did it start in
MLM.
The pandemic?
No, that's the weirdest thing. I will tell you, during the pandemic, there were so many MLMs.
There's about 6 months of the pandemic when I would have joined a toilet paper scam if it meant that I got first dibs on the toilet paper.
It's like, here's my backstock of toilet paper in my garage.
I would have had a poo-poo party. We would have poo-poo parties. I would 100% join a poo-poo MLM during the pandemic for like 6 crisp months.
Oh my God. Yeah. They really, MLMs reported, I think like a 53% increase in joining during the pandemic.
I bet.
Better numbers.
People are lonely. And
there were tons of MLMs that started.
They're broke. They're out of work. Everybody's out of work.
Well, a lot of them started creating hand sanitizer. and thing and cleansing products that like nobody could get. And they were like, you got hand sanitizer. That.
Yes.
I was like, these scammers, dude. And so we, as the anti-MLM community, we created all these posts that said like, do not profit off of people in a pandemic, like hashtag COVID MLM or I forget what it was, but it was vicious. And the FTC did crack down a couple years later and sent hundreds of letters to all of the MLMs that had violated not only health and income claims or health claims during the pandemic with all of their like, take our magic dirt, take our magic drops, essential oils will cure it. Like
you need they colloidal, all got letters.
Colloidal silver. But then all of the MLMs that had income claims like, oh, you're shut down. Look at all the money. Look at the things. Yeah. Here's a picture of my check. All of those are illegal. You're not allowed to do any of that. And they did. And so not only did the FTC go after the MLMs that were allowing that, but they also went after the mega huns that were doing it as well. So like the reps were getting letters from the FTC. And I was like, thank you for doing your job.
Okay, how do I recognize that I am not doing a normal direct sale, but I might be in an MLM? So I know that you said, is there an upline? Is there a downline? Mm-hmm. So am I? If I'm actually my own boss, why am I reporting to you?
Right. There should not be anybody that is above flag. You. Right.
Okay.
Right. An upline and a downline is a red flag. A pushing on recruiting is a red flag.
Okay.
Another thing that MLMs will like to do, and this is a huge red flag, and if it happens to you, you should literally quit the next day. They do these like push for promotions. So like say, where's my little pyramid? Say like the mega hun at the top up here is so
We've
close
get
to
a
her promotion. Got to get a better term for that. Nope. You just hear it because I say it too fast.
I do.
So the hun at the top up here. She's so close to hitting that car bonus or so close to hitting that next step, right? I'm just a couple sales away. So instead of her harassing her following, she's going to harass her downline. And everybody is going to have this push party. And it'll be like, Becky is just $200 away. If everybody could buy a lipstick tonight, and it's usually on like the 30th or the 31st, if everybody could just see what they need, if everybody could just buy a lipstick for Becky, people will pay full retail of the things they have in their garage that they can get a discount on. They will pay full retail to promote Becky to whatever she needs to get. And they will have these parties and they'll be like, have you bought your lipstick yet? That sort of stuff absolutely happens. It is absolutely a red flag. You are not responsible for helping Becky earn her car bonus, which is not actually a free car, by the way. It is a lease that you have to get with your credit. It's your information. You have to pay it. And if you hit your rank, like we're trying to do for Becky, the MLM will then cut you a bonus check that is like $400. So if your lease, because your credit is not good enough, is $520, you're still on the hook every month for that $120 extra that goes above that payment. There's different qualifications. Sometimes you can hit bigger payments, but essentially without getting too complicated, that's how that car bonus works. It's not a car. It's a lease. You don't own it. It's if something happens and you don't sell enough lipstick or protein powder or whatever, and you don't get that bonus, you're on the hook for the whole number, and they can take it and it'll affect your credit.
So a big general red flag is I'm paying to work here.
Pay to play, big time. It's a gambling. I'm going to pay you money.
There's more of an emphasis on recruitment. I'm paying to work here.
Yes. Okay. And you're going to pay for everything yourself. Like there's all the trainings are paid. You have to pay for them, all of the conventions, it's on your dime, it's your travel, it's everything. It's not mandatory. But again, like I said, in that cult atmosphere, if you're not there, there will be this mean girl like, well, maybe you should have been at convention then. And like just
how
that
big is
sort
the,
of is just enough, you know?
How big is the MLM? How many billions are we talking? How much money do MLMs earn annually?
In the United States, $190 billion and globally $330 billion is the income on a 99.7% loss.
And I was about to say, and 99.7% of the people who work for these companies make no money.
Or what you're making is so small. It's like I did the, I took a bunch of income disclosure statements a couple of years ago, and I did the math for hourly. And I was like, let's just call this a part-time job because everybody calls it their part-time side hustle. So mm-hmm. let's just do 20 hours a week. We're just going to do it in the little pockets of our day. And I did the math, and the hourly rate is lower than prison wages. It's like 47 cents or something was the highest. Like it's less than prison. It's less than prison wages. And these women and now, men are gladly signing up.
With a lot of things like cults, getting out isn't always that easy. Sometimes, like you said earlier, you know, kind of a big difference is I don't have safety concerns. If I'm leaving a cult, I often have safety concerns. I have safety concerns for myself. I might have safety concerns for my loved ones. I might be concerned for my house. If I want to leave the cult of an MLM, if I'm tired of selling banana earrings for my upline or whatever, can I just quit?
Yeah, sometimes. Absolutely. I want to say higher up in sometimes. The chain.
What about the other times?
The higher up in the chain you are, it might be harder for you to quit. You're going to have a lot of like guilt. You're going to have a lot of people sort of coming at you. I got a lot of hate. I got a lot of people who were like, I can't believe you would do this. And like, I thought you were different. And just really sort of making me feel really bad about myself and questioning, is this the right thing? Which I knew it was the right thing. But there were moments where I was like, would it just be easier to take the abuse and just stay longer than to like go through this? It was full excommunication. It was really, really brutal. But there are people sometimes that are so tied because they've been with the company so long that if you leave, the MLM will sue you. Like the MLM will watch you. They will have people like, please report back if she's breaking any of the rules. The PNP, the policies and procedures of multi-level marketing, is horrific. The arbitration clauses in them are horrific. I know that people don't sign these. I know that people don't read these because I've read them and I'm like, I can't believe I signed anything that said this. They can change it at any time they want. And so if you decide to leave and speak out and you go about it in the wrong way or you don't protect yourself.
What's with the protective wrong way? Language,
making accusations, not using protective language, sharing, quote, proprietary secrets or anything like that, they can come after you. I've seen women get sued by the MLM and the MLM just literally bleeds them dry till they have to file bankruptcy because you're going against a billion-dollar company who's like, I don't care. Like our lawyers, like just make them do this again. And I've had friends who are like, I can't afford to sue them anymore. Like I thought I had a case, but their legal stipulations and their contracts are so airtight that it destroys people. So, I mean, you can leave, but a lot of times it might be your family's team that you joined, right? Like you joined your sister's team and she's up there and you leave and it causes like issues and rifts in your family. I mean, there's a lot of things. So yes, if you are strong and you are like, yeah, I can leave this, no problem. But there are definitely exceptions where people are like, all my eggs are in this basket. My husband, I was doing so well. This is our full income. My husband quit his job. He stocks the warehouse. We've got a shed in our backyard filled with all of this product. He does all that. We're spending $15,000 a month just to keep the business going. We're making $30,000, you know, like it's this sort of thing. If I leave, I won't have any money. My husband doesn't have a job anymore. Everything is here. I have to get that bonus check. And a lot of times these are the people at the very top who have, you know, $20,000 and $30,000 checks a month coming in. Imagine just losing that immediately. So they come to me, they say, I can't follow you on social media because people are watching. I don't know what to do. Can I email you? Can I make a fake account? Can I check in with you? And they say like, okay, I'm 3 months into dwindling. I haven't recruited anybody. We're getting rid of product. I mean, it is devastating to some people. And, you know, it just takes time. I've got a girl she's probably been working on it for about 6 or 7 months. And she's like, it's going to take me about a year. But my husband and I sat down and we made a plan and I'm just going to keep checking in with you. And she does. She checks in and says, hey, you know, today I did this or today I told some people. And it's just, it's
so
scary.
Dwindling sounds like it answers my next question because so hypothetically, let's say that I am somebody that got duped by a legging pyramid scheme. Mm-hmm. Just a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, just randomly.
Let's say that I got personally duped into selling leggings. So I probably had to buy a lot of leggings at some point. You know, real ugly, just real ugly leggings that you could have bought.
Clowns,
for like
meth squirrels, the whole shebang. Yeah.
Yep. So let's just hypothetically say I'm that person and I decide I want to leave that MLM. What do I do with a garage full of ugly leggings?
Again, it depends on where you sit on the pyramid. So I, when I left my legging,
if
MLM,
I'm so high up on the pyramid that me leaving inspires a Hollywood executive to greenlight a movie about it.
I did have a garage full of leggings because LuLaRoe told me, hey, okay. So first of all, I bought over 70, I want to say it was 78. $1,000 worth of inventory in 18 months. But I sold like 82. So the business itself, like, it was a wash. Insane. I know. It's embarrassing, but I've gotten over it. But I made over $65,000 in bonuses. So it didn't really, it was not life-changing money. It was literally, this is what you were making at your other job, but now you sell leggings money. So there was not like life-changing money for me. But I had a garage full of probably $15,000 or $20,000 worth of inventory. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, we'll take that back. But we'll like offset your bonuses first. So I was like, so I'm going to have to send this back to you. And like, you're like, I'm not going to make any money off of this. Like, you won't give me any money because I made more in bonuses than this money's worth. So if I had over $65,000 in inventory, I would have gotten whatever it was worth minus the bonuses. So for me, I couldn't send it back because it would have, I would have not made any money. So I, hell hath no fury, Don. I was like, fuck it then. I'm just going to tell everybody. So I sold it. I have a woman who is friends with my roommate who lives in Mexico. We're here in San Diego. She comes across the border like once or twice a month, and she'll give me $100 bill and take a tub of leggings with her. And then that's her, and she sells them in Mexico. And like, that's her income. I was like, you don't even have to just take them. You don't even have to give me the $100. There's not much left. But yeah, I wasn't able to return any of it because I had too much in bonus checks.
Okay. So I think that was my question.
So
do you legally own the leggings?
Yes.
You legally own the leggings. You could sell them for any amount of money?
Yes. Now, not when I was contractually obligated to LuLaRoe, I had to sell it at their prices. Now I can sell it for whatever I want.
So, okay. Okay. Do you do anything with the leggings? Like, have you made anything? Like, have you had an arts and crafts moment where you're just like, you know what? I'm gonna cut these up and make Halloween costumes or turn them into rags.
So I did keep a few things because they're really funny to do like hun costumes on social media when I'm in a mood. You know, I'll dress up or do something silly if there's like a trend. I kept a few things for that because it's just funny and it's fun to poke fun at yourself. I don't like to poke fun at others. I like to poke fun at myself. And then in turn, it sort of works. But most of it's gone. Like most of it, I just take it. It's fine. I don't need it. Now things have become funny because I've been out for 7 years. And so things are now funny to me. So people will send me MLM stuff. Like I have this right here that one of my followers sent me. It's a Mary Kay. It says Mary Kay. It's a little clipper clapper clippy. So I just have all this ridiculous stuff all over the place. We call it the MLM graveyard and we have fun with it. I have to laugh or I'll cry. And, you know, I had to make something positive out of it because it was so detrimental to so much of my life, mostly my mental health. But yeah, you know, I do this because I don't want anyone else to feel the way I felt. I don't want anyone else to feel stupid because you're not stupid. It happens. They're very, very sophisticated scams and people, you know, like you said, magical thinking. It's like, what, dream big. They encourage you to dream big. Like, what are you going to do with the money? You're like, oh, I'm going to pay off some bills. And they're like, and then what happens after the bills are paid off? Like, I don't know, buy a Learjet and live on a lake. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous what they like encourage you to dream. Like there was one woman on my show who was saying that she didn't understand, but like for some reason she had this idea in her head. And the whole reason she was doing her MLM was to save the money to buy her mother a condo in Italy so she could retire in Italy. I was like, what? She's like, gosh, I just want to buy
her
a villa in Italy.
That is the most random.
Absolutely.
What?
Yeah. Because they say, think bigger, go bigger, dream bigger.
Sure.
And it really fucks with the dopamine and it really messes with your head and this magical thinking of like, I can do it. I'm not average. Yeah, the average person loses money, but I'm not
I have a question. I have a question because I want to be respectful of your time. How long were you with LuLaRoe?
About 18 months.
About
a year and a half.
That's quicker than I thought.
Yeah.
Did you receive a dark gift? Like, do you have, like, could you convince me to join your MLM? Like, could you, well, maybe not me because I investigate fraud for a living, but like, do you have dark skills and every now and then you're just like, I just want to use my gifts for evil for just a second. I just want to screw with the ladies at the bake sale because Dylan's teacher pissed me off and I just want to like screw with the girls at the PTA or whatever. Like, do you have like dark gifts now that you have to like purposefully tamp down?
I was raised in fire, raised and forged in fire. So there is a very mean streak in me that I really tamper down. But I just want
to
say,
you gonna speak to that manager. That manager is going to be spoken to.
I don't usually speak to the manager. I would rather complain on TikTok and like make a joke out of it than actually complain to the manager and be like, you will not believe what just happened. Like,
that's like girl boss gatekeep.
Yeah. But like for me, it's just I can be really mean if I need to be. And I think that's another reason why I don't have as many trolls as I should.
Okay. I want to role play this with you because I want to get yelled at professionally. Could you tell me? Okay, so for anybody still listening to this, I want you. Okay, I'm in your downline, okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sell enough Totoro AirPod cases this month. We are a Totoro AirPod MLM. We are an AirPod MLM. Are those MLMs the people with the pens, those ugly pens, or the people that sell the keychains? On TikTok shop, like those.
I think that's like just like junk.
Affiliate marketing. Oh, just
yeah. I think it's just junk that people are like, buy my junk.
I found on Alibaba. I bought a big bunch of it.
Like I bought an unseen box of junk. Let's sell it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're in
the AirPod case MLM, and I missed my goal by. Does it matter how much I missed my goal by?
No.
Like, would I get yelled at for $50? Like, if I just didn't...
I mean, you
like,
just wouldn't like, qualify. And then
is
you
it
would
just
be...
like horseshoes and hand grenades? Like, if I miss it, I miss it and it's bad? Yeah. Or like, are there degrees of bad?
You know, it would really have to really determine on like who the leader was and like how they interacted.
Okay, you're the leader and I've missed it. I've missed it by a lot. What does this conversation sound like? I want you to make me feel bad. Yes.
You're the upline
and I'm... I didn't sell enough AirPods. I want you to reach down into that deep, dark phoenix. I need you to pull out your dark gifts, and I want to hear what that conversation sounds like in a real MLM setting. Like, I want to be chastised.
This is not a kink. I was never like that. So I'm really going to have to
think okay.
Here.
So what are you like?
On TikTok or on YouTube, I will actually take old videos from Facebook because I did a lot of Facebook lives and I will react to my old self. I call her Hun Berta because it's embarrassing. And luckily for me, I was not too horrible, but there are moments where I surprise myself where I say things and I'm just like, don't say that. Like, I remember saying something about like, you know, like if you've survived cancer, like you can totally use that to connect with people. And I was like, I can't believe that that's something that, and I lost my father to cancer. So the fact that that even came out of my mouth as a way to connect with people and a way, like join a Facebook group, like people might need your products. People love leggings, like that sort of stuff. Like like just abhorrent. Like my face when I was like, no, like I can't believe I just said that. Hun Berta is a whole beast of
okay,
her own.
I want Hun Berta to yell. I want Hun Berta. We're in a meeting. I'm in a download. No, I want this. I want to hear what this sounds like.
She
I want to hear.
Yell,
I want.
But she's kind of a bitch.
Okay. Okay.
I would say something like, Dawn, yes. I know we've had conversations about this before. And okay. I know that the Totoro AirPod cases that you keep stocking in your store aren't selling. And I just need you to know that when you don't hit your goals, that it affects the entire team. Okay. It affects my bonus. It affects everybody else's bonus above me. If you can't hit your goal, and I'm counting on you because I see something in you that I don't see in anybody else. And real, like you are so incredible. Like you are so charismatic and people love your lives. I'm just not seeing why your sales aren't translating. I don't know if we need to link arms and do some like additional training, if you need me to pour into you a little bit more, because this is the third month in a row. And honestly, corporate is not going to be happy. If you can't hit your numbers next month, you might be terminated. And I don't want to lose you. So we need to figure out a way. If we need to do like a push party for you and everybody just needs to buy some Totoro AirPods from you, just so that we can get you back on top so that you can feel confident again. Because honestly, like I can't have this happen again. I have a car to pay. Okay. I have a car that I need to pay for.
Wait, would you, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry
bonus,
to interrupt. Would you actually,
I'm not going to be able to drive my car.
Would that actually work on people? Like saying like, you're affecting my bonus. You're affecting the upline's bonus. Like that. Does that translate to shame for people? Like people feel shame?
Oh yeah.
Because
well, so
you
have
to
get
tell
to
you,
that moment of shame.
If my boss ever
first.
Came to me and said, your productivity, my bonus, your productivity, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, raises were only 2% last year. So cry me an entire river with your bonus, big boy. Like, I would tell you exactly where to get off and how to get there.
Right.
But I also don't fall for scams.
Right. And then
but
it's
that
like, affects,
that works. That
you'd be surprised. You would really be surprised.
Because of the community, because it's community.
Of that,
you're letting
right?
people down.
You're letting people down. Yeah. And
you're
then
letting
if
people
I,
down.
Then a lot of times what would happen is like, maybe you're like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to try better, but I need to go to my other job. And then I'm like, okay, well, Dawn's at work. We're going to go live and we're going to talk about Dawn while he's at work and he can't be here. And we're going to talk about like, maybe, and I wouldn't maybe use your name, although I would never do this, but I might not use your name, but it would be like, hey, we're just having an emergency meeting about hitting our goals. There are a few of you out there who haven't been hitting your goals. And it's a little disappointing because the people that need to hear this message aren't even here. You know, it's this sort of like, it's really like mean girl culture. It's like if Regina George was selling Herbalife. It's just like exactly what you would
Regina
expect.
George would sell the shit out of Herbalife. I would listen.
She's like, have you had too many Caltaine bars? Do I have a solution for you?
Regina George. I need the actual Mean Girls sequel where Regina George is like triple
is
diamond,
MLM.
Black diamond, platinum, X a billion, you know, up there in the, I don't know.
Hopping from MLM
infinitous.
To
MLM. Yeah, she is up there in the
Absolutely.
Herbalife Amway cult, and she's sapphire, diamond, pearl, whatever.
Yeah, one of the women that works on my show, my friend Michelle, we call her the triple emerald princess of robots because she's like my IT girl, and that's her name on the show. So yeah, we have
gosh.
A lot of fun with like
Roberta
the
Blevins.
Pyramid stuff.
It has been a treat and a dream to get to speak with you. One of my favorite topics is talking about scams and schemes and fraud and the ways in which we prey on one another, but the ways in which understanding those scams and schemes and frauds and stuff, kind of unpacking those, teaches us about ourselves and what it is that we're looking for. I like that you continue to bring up the fact that what so many people in these environments are really looking for is community, It's a sense of filling the void that loneliness provides. We are an increasingly lonelier society. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just interesting to hear that aspect of it. If people want to get more from you, I know you have your own podcast. Where can people listen to you? Where can people find you on social media?
So you can find me. I'm on pretty much all social media. If you search my name, Roberta Blevins, I should pop up. But Instagram's The Real Roberta Blevins. TikTok's a little more fun. So it's Berta Like Whoa. And then my podcast is Life After MLM. You can get it wherever you listen to podcasts. Got lifeaftermlmpod.com if you want more information. Or robertablevins.com also has all of the information as well.
And the documentary is called?
Lula Rich. It's very good. It came out in 2021. And if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. And if you have seen it, you should watch it again.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
I've only seen it 3 times. It's very hard for me to watch.
And that is going to do it here for this episode of Head on Fire. My thanks to my guest, Roberta Blevins. Make sure to check out her podcast and watch the documentary Lula Rich. It's really enlightening. Now, if you like this show right here that you just listened to, so I'm assuming you do because you made it all the way here, and you want to support it, there are a number of ways to help. The quickest, easiest, and freest way is to take a little phone that's already in your hand and to like or rate the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, maybe also leave a review because reviews, literally any string of words or emojis, help bump the show up in the algorithm and recommend it to other listeners like you. You could also, something free is you could just tell your friends about it. You just be like, hey, Jimmy, guess what? This podcast that I listen to is really great and you should listen to it too. And then maybe Jimmy will listen to it. You could also tell your friends on social media about it as well. If you have a little bit more jingle in your pocket and you want to do something else, you could also, maybe join my Patreon on a monthly basis. Patrons receive additional audio and video content as well as archived episodes, a private Discord server, and fun little goodies along the way. They're going to be the first people to hear all about my publishing journey and all sorts of new stuff as it happens. So if you want to do that, you can join for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/headonfirepod. I do always want to remind people that you can find me on social media. I am at Head on Fire Pod on all social media platforms, and you can email me at contact@headonfirepod.com. I'm going to go. I'm not going to go join an MLM, though, because that would be literally insane. But I'm going to go. But please remember to never stop seeking illumination like a man with his head on fire seeks water. Be well.